Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
I had somebody come up to me at a meeting and demand a new introduction. So I just want you to know, it's catching on. People all over the country are demanding this.
Did they provide, all over the country, yeah. Did they provide you a script?
Okay, it was one guy that I met one place, but it was another part of the country from where I live, so that counts.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these days, maybe on episode 500, because we're well into episode 400 right now, right? So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
All right, so let's get into today's question. I'll read it for us, and I'm going to read it for us because it came in via one of our Plus members. So one of the things about Plus membership on New Churches is that they can, if you're a Plus member, you submit an office hours question, and we promise you a response within 5 days that week. So after
front of the line.
Yeah. So after responding to that, actually they've already gotten the response. I was like, you know, let's just ask this on the podcast because it was such a, I feel like we haven't addressed it yet. So here it is. How do we as a new church plant attract new people with limited resources? Also, how do we get them to buy into or plug into the church plant once we have attracted them? What are your thoughts, Ed?
Well, I guess it's kind of a, I'm trying to figure out how best to respond to the question because it's kind of loaded with some presuppositions that are, I know in that small few words, it didn't seem that way, but how do we attract people? Well, so here's the presupposition that the best way to plant a church is by having some means to attract a large group of people in a short amount of time, which I'm actually for. There are ways to do that. But I would say that nobody would have asked that question 50 years ago. Not a single person asked that question, who's planning a church. They would have said, what's the best place to meet people that I don't know so that I can share the gospel with them, evangelize them, and get them into a church? So it's, I think the answer,
So Ed, you're saying if the podcast was, you know, that would have been the question 50 years ago then on the podcast?
Yeah, because no one was thinking about how to attract people to a new church. Yeah. They would be thinking about how to evangelize people. And I would say, and I'm not saying that this person is not evangelizing or anything like that at all. What I'm saying is that they're following a pattern that I've done, I think you've done, where we have a launch, we do some mailers or phone calls or whatever. And what I would say is, if you don't have the resource to do those things, which he or she asking the question may indeed have the resources, I don't know. But if they don't have the resource to do those things, you still have the resource of and the reality that you can just meet people.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was planning in Buffalo, this is probably pre a lot of these ideas that kind of became more well known in the mid 90s, is, you know, what do we do to attract people? We just met them. So I went literally door to door, knocked on doors, knock, and said, hey, I'm Ed Stetzer planting Calvary Christian Church just up here on the road. I didn't say planting. I said, we're coming in the neighborhood with a new church that's beginning on just up the road on Holly Street. Would you be interested in talking all a little about it? We're starting a Bible study in the neighborhood. So in other words, I think that the accelerators that he or she is looking for may be good and helpful, and I'm for them. You know, I think direct mail is great, and I think events are great. But if there's not an accelerator, there's still an opportunity. It's just basically old school being new school, and I might do it a little differently than I did it in 1988. I might knock on the door and say, hey, my name's Ed Stetzer, and I'm coming to the neighborhood. We're starting a new congregation here. Wanted to meet people in the neighborhood. What do you think a new church could do that could help our community to thrive? You know, so I might start a conversation differently and, you know, to start a conversation with them. But at the end of the day, I think that's the part I would say is, and I don't want to sound like I'm jumping on the question asker because I'm not, but I'm actually fascinated by the question itself because I think it speaks to church planning in 2019 in a way that's different than it would have been in 1959. And maybe we just need to be reminded that when we don't have the ability to attract people, we just go get them. We just go find them. And so we don't attract them. We engage them. And I think that's the distinction.
So this is a great answer. I don't think it's necessarily an either or, right?
Yeah,
do these big attractional events or go and talk to people. Yet today in 2019, you almost still need to. I mean, how do you? I wonder if the pendulum has swung so far to the right where it's like, no, do your big, you know, mailers and do the big bouncy castles and do the big events and try to do all these things to try to attract people. I wonder if the pendulum has swung so much so that way that we have actually lost the art of asking good questions and going door to door and knocking yet because we fear that we might be seen as Mormons or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of my point. My point is not don't use those things, though the bouncy houses, I think, are kind of got to draw a line there. I'm not getting in a bouncy house, even for the Lord. But what I would say is that the assumption of the question is that that's the thing to do. So it makes me wonder if they have the resources to do that. If they don't have the resources to do that, I don't want them to think, well, I can't plant a church. I say, go plant a church. But anyway, I would say a path that I would address it. I think you're exactly right. It's a both end, but I'm kind of assuming, perhaps incorrectly, but by the nature of the question, that the questioner doesn't have the other option and maybe saying, well, what do we do? We don't have all the resources. So what I would say is if you want to, I mean, we've written about this in Planting Missional Churches, the second edition and more. I mean, you can attract people with service. You can engage people with outreach. You can do children's events in the park. You can do community cleanup events and more. And all of those things would be under the category of attracting in the broader sense of the questioner's words. But what I would just say, and again, maybe we'll record this later, is this episode, Ed Stetzer went on a rant. And I don't mean to go on a rant because I'm actually for the questioner. But you don't have the resources to do those things, then you just go meet people and seek to reach out, evangelize, and grow.
Okay, so that was part one of the question. Let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll get into part two, which is how do we, once we have attracted them or they've come out to the church, what do we then do to get them plugged in? Just a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll get back into the episode. Do you ever feel like you don't know where to start with volunteer training? Or if you do, is it hard to get everyone in the same place at the same time? Well, Ministry Grid makes it simple to train every volunteer and leader in your church. With a library of over 3,500 videos and 800 courses, you'll find training for every ministry area and leadership level. From volunteers to leaders to ministry directors, Ministry Grid's scope and sequence of training makes it easy to know who needs what training. And here's the best news of all. For the month of August, you can get unlimited access to Ministry Grid for your entire church for just $399 a year. And every year after that, you're locked into that price. If you want to take advantage of this incredible deal, just go to ministrygrid.com/podcast to get unlimited training for $399. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the interview. Okay, so how do we, once we have attracted them or they've come out to the church, what do we then do to get them plugged in?
Yeah, now that's more traditional assimilation. And so how do we engage them? Maybe they use events or mailers or whatever. So how do we engage them? I think the key there ultimately is built around how do we move people from kind of somewhat being willing to come into a conversation by visiting a church. It's typically what the question is talking about is someone's probably visited a small group of the church. And what I would say is help people to take small steps of spiritual growth, help them to take intentional, well, here's another place to go a little deeper. Here's another place to learn a little more and take those steps that way. I think the end result is that the steps that you take will help the people take more steps of obedience, which eventually could lead to more regular engagement and more.
Yeah. And when you're looking at which steps for people to take, and that's great language there, you have to think there are some people who are going to be more naturally relationally oriented and others who are more task oriented. And you have a bias yourself as well. So if you loved seminary and Bible college and you love the book knowledge, I mean, your natural default might be to offer class 101, 201, 301, 401 or different ways to get people plugged in. But then there might be other people who are like, well, actually, that doesn't interest me at all, but it's life groups and it's a small group and I want to get plugged in that way. So just make sure that you are aware of what your bias is, but you're providing natural opportunities for both types of people to get plugged in. Because the biggest thing about getting plugged in is relationships. They might come in through the door of a class or through the door of learning this one seminar, but you need to build that around relationships, because relationships are ultimately what's gonna help them stick to the church.
What you said. No, I agree. And I think it's a question of how do you facilitate those deeper relationships? A lot of ways to do that, but how do you facilitate them? And once you facilitate them, or at least seek to begin to facilitate them, you can grow into deeper relationship.
Yeah. Ed, what do you think about, I guess Hugh Halter's the first one that I heard who had done this. This was years and years ago, where he was like, man, I don't want people to join the church. So there's this class, this membership class, where it's like full on commitment, and you need to be 100% fully, like 110% fully committed to this church before you can join it. There's definitely some of that going on there. What do you think about this strong commitment, asking people to commit so strongly to your church, especially in our culture that's so non-committal?
Yeah, certainly countercultural. And I don't know. I think there's a philosophy there, and I'm okay with that philosophy. I think I tend to see church membership as a normative biblical thing. I think there were lists in the Bible that people had their names on. I think having some sort of commitment and covenant that says I'm a part of this church and I'm in this community are all very appropriate. I think the question is what are your membership requirements? So the last church I planted, which I left now 3 years ago, so you know things change over time, was that small group involvement was required for membership. And we thought long and hard on that. We thought that if anyone's going to have any meaningful relationships in a church, you know, more than 100 people, they're going to have to be in small groups. And so we decided, because we were larger than that, that the best course of action would be to say, all right, if you're going to be a member, you got to be in community. And the only realistic way to be in community is to be in community through small groups. And so we required that. You know, I mean, yeah, and you can require anything, but people don't have to do it. I mean, right. So that's true. Part of it as well. So that was kind of our approach. And we prayed about it, thought about it, and I think it's a good approach. You could also say, and I think probably what he also said was you have to serve, right? So sometimes people don't call it, membership, they call it partnership. And you have to have this partnership to be engaged and involved. So, yeah, I think all those are fine. I would say don't add requirements that are not mentioned in the Bible or not biblically prescribed.
That's always a good thing.
But I think, and there's some, you know, they've got rules. You got to follow this rule and that rule. But I would say telling people that membership is a higher commitment is not a bad thing. I think, didn't Tom Rainer write a book, High Expectation, on High Expectation of Membership? I think it was a book.
Yeah, I'm a church member.
So. One of the difficulties of working with the guy is that you say, I've heard him talk about this. Did he write that or did he say that? So yeah, I think that's a great example.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for submitting that question. And if you haven't yet submitted a question yet, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device, or you can go to newchurches.com if you're on a laptop or a desktop and just submit that question by hitting the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. We'd love to answer it. Thanks again for listening in, and be sure to check out the Making Disciples podcast as well. They are a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family and have addressed a ton of great and relevant topics recently on discipleship. So be sure to just look up Making Disciples on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.